Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rural Survival Show with Tim and Ori Spencer. Today is Saturday, the 12th day of May, year of our Lord, 2018. And wow, is it another beautiful day, just like last Saturday, except today it's supposed to get up to 90. But wow, it is beautiful here. Again, can't stand sitting in front of the computer. I'm out on the porch. Wow. Anyway, lots of interesting stuff happened this week. The Israelis and Iranians are at it. You know, each one, just like any other conflict, you know, the other side did it. So, no, the truth is somewhere in between, most likely. Oh, well, as long as we're not involved in it, I say let them blow each other up. But it is affecting price of oil, which, of course, affects the price of diesel and gasoline. You know, it wouldn't surprise me to see $5 to $5.50 a gallon gasoline by the end of the summer if this continues to heat up. Hope not, but we'll have to see what happens. Honestly, I think sometimes these bankers and traders try to provoke these wars just so they make more money on oil. But I don't know. I'm just going to sit back here on the farm and watch life go by, and ain't nothing I can do about it except do my best to for my family. So anyway, Rick will be calling in here in a few minutes, I think, or he might have to wait till 11. I know he's got some conflicting things going on today. Lori, are you looking at anything today?
No, not really. Just want to wish all the mothers out there today Happy Mother's Day. Of course, remind everybody tomorrow is Mother's Day, so here's your last reminder. So you guys can, you know, either make plans for your mom tomorrow, or pick up those last-minute bouquets, or there's another one, you know, you can always order a Dairy Queen cake, or which is made of ice cream, but hey, you know.
Yeah.
Just an idea. Yeah.
I'll tell you, forgetting Mother's Day ranks right up there with forgetting anniversaries. You know, that crap just don't fly. Yeah, you want a miserable Sunday, pull that one. Anyway.
Well, I hope everybody's made at least some kind of plans for mom. And, you know, they got to remember, too, you know, it doesn't have to be anything expensive. It could be a picnic lunch in the backyard or something, or at a city park, you know. It doesn't have, like I said, doesn't have to be anything elaborate. Just spending time with mom. And trust me, she'll love that most of all. So,
oh, yeah.
It doesn't have to be fancy.
Yep, I hear you. And I agree with you, actually. All right. Well, I hope you're watching Skype, because I didn't charge my headphones like an idiot. I thought about it for 3 days and never got around to plugging them in. So, you're going to have to watch Skype. But anyway, now got the garden all ready to go. Got the plants out there. Our grandson, Nate, is doing the final leveling out of the ground, and then our daughter's going to cut the rose in this afternoon, or maybe even this morning. And, man, do we have a bunch of plants to plant. Between the seeds we've started and a few things we bought, we're probably going to come real close to filling up that garden today. And for the first time ever, I actually tried planting garlic by seed. Wow. 4 days or 5 days, something like that. I've got garlic plants with a single, like almost like a blade of grass shooting up out of them that are 6 inches high. So going to have to do some clearing tomorrow to add to our garlic bread bed.
Garlic bread?
Yeah. I can't talk.
We actually have a couple on the line. We got Mike in Kentucky on line 9. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, good. Yay.
Hi, Mike. Hey, I'll have to wonder about, since it's antifungal, if you couldn't plant your garlic in with your tomatoes and your oregano. Keep the fungus off the tomatoes.
That.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't get everything all root-bound. But, yeah, I'm thinking your guys' show is one of those that a lot of local media needs to carry. I think it, you know, even TV, local TV stations could carry your show just simply because it deals with rural issues, which is one of the missions for the whatever's left of the orphaned 2,300 low-power TV stations across the country. You just need some slides, you know, a little slideshow with something like Microsoft Windows slideshow or something, and then it could air your program. But I asked an expert,
That'd be kind of neat. The only problem is nearest TV station's 110 miles from us.
No. You just need about a, I think now you can get a $35 free-to-air satellite receiver that also does, what is it called, Internet Protocol TV. So you just hook up either to a satellite dish or to a little, and it doesn't take much of a satellite dish. I've seen people take these old PrimeStar and even like the credit card dishes off of businesses, you'll see there's a lot of unused dishes up on top of these roofs of these retailers, and they might be glad to get rid of them. You can go get one,
yeah,
or if you live beside of a retailer that has four or five dishes on there, there's no way they're using them all. You know, they only need like one for their credit card.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of those dishes are not being used, and you just aim it, I think, most of the eastern United States, it's around 89 degrees west, and you can get a little simple tone generator, satellite meter, and a compass or whatever, and aim it at that. If you have to replace the LNB at the center of the dish, they're only about $15. Some of them come with a feed horn, and some of them dishes are big enough to do C-band as well as the KU, which you guys are on KU, along with things like Russia Today and a bunch of the old Sky Angel type of religious channels. So, but RBN, it's one of the ways that you can privately have entertainment that the dominating the human domain crowd doesn't know what's going in and out of your brain.
That's
they wanna
true.
They want to track everything that's going in and out of us. But I recently asked a former owner of a greenhouse and used to raise chickens for sale and stuff like that, and like, how do you keep the chickens out of your garden? And they never offered any solution. They just said, well, we raised dozens and dozens of chickens, and never bothered our cucumbers, never bothered our garden at all. And I'm like, oh boy, that's doesn't help. You know, you've got lots of experience, but no solution for me.
Well, our solution's chicken wire.
Yeah, good luck with that. We don't like to clip the chicken's wings so they can fly over a lot of stuff. I just wondered if there was something, if you could spray something, lemon juice or something, that would deter them, just keep them away. Maybe some kind of pepper spray. I don't know. I just wondered if
there was any solution. I don't know either. There's so much other food, though, for our chickens to eat. One, we do let them out, which is not often. Not as much as we used to, because now I can't chase them down, and the women folk are busy, and son-in-law is at work. But, you know, the coyotes are so thick around here that let them out too early, let them stay out too late, and they're gone.
Well, you don't have any kind of a guard dog that's imprinted on them?
Oh, yeah.
Obviously,
got
they're
But
they're
when
you've
got 150 chickens around, you know,
yeah, but when we do let them out and they do get into the garden, they, you know, they'll scratch around at the ground and all, and they might pick, if they see a bug or something on leaves, they might, you know, eat it.
Yeah.
But
I've lost cucumbers, tomatoes, peppers. They eat about everything I put out in the garden, and they jump over the fence to do it.
We really haven't had that much of a problem with them, buddy.
I think once they learn that they can eat that stuff, they of course we feed them scraps of, you know, salad and stuff from the kitchen too, but they get out and they scratch the grubs, and we have some really rich, nice, dark yellow eggs from our free-range chickens. They really, the store-bought eggs taste like styrofoam, I'm telling you. Once you've had these good
eggs, I know.
the store-bought eggs have no flavor. It's like eating styrofoam or a rice cake or something. But a little bit of oregano in those, whip it up with some cream, man. You talk about an omelet, you'll go all Saturday long. I fix myself a Saturday morning breakfast with a couple of those eggs, and I can go till 3 or 4 o'clock without eating again.
Wow. Well, we also like duck eggs, and we have ducks just for the eggs, and they are really good.
Yeah, I know, you know, supposedly you can keep the deer out of your garden with human hair. I've had some, that's an old pot grower's trick a guy taught me. He would take up friends with a hair stylist and get all the hair he could from them and grow his 3 or 4 plants in different plots out in the middle of the woods. And that's what he said. He'd go out and pee on them every so often and throw human hair on there, and it keeps the deer off of it. And I had gardeners tell me the same thing, but I didn't know if it'd work on chickens. But I told this guy, I said, man, you better not get caught out there in the national forest doing that. And I said, why don't you just sell maps to your plots?
There you go.
You can smell that stuff like 400 feet away when it gets ripe. I had somebody try to grow it where I used to live in a power line right away, and I ran them off. I tell you what, man, you just all they have to do is put your name on a piece of paper that says you're the nearest property owner, and you're in a heap of world of hurt. I mean, they don't even try. There's no trial or anything.
I had a friend of mine that he had an old camping trailer that he converted into a greenhouse. He was quite a gardener, and he did not grow marijuana, but the helicopters, DEA helicopters flying over here, hit on that greenhouse, I guess, at night when he had all the grow lights growing in there. And they come in, they seize the trailer, they took all those tomato plants like the typical idiots they are around here.
Jeez.
They don't know the difference between a tomato plant and a pot plant. And he did get them back, but damaged, of course, and half of them dead because of lack of water. But, you know, those idiots jump on that stuff, and, you know, they don't have the sense that God gave a coconut. You know, they can't think for themselves, apparently.
Well, it's sad, too, because it takes years to hybridize a tomato to get the taste you want. We had a local man named Watts Tomatoes. I think the seed got sold to a company out in Missouri, but they're one of the best tasting, kind of like a pink brandy wine with just the right amount of acidity. And they're a heirloom variety, you know. He just worked on them for several decades here locally in our little town. And they became very renowned. I grew them for several years until the blight got them, and I asked around, and nobody told me that a copper spray would help, you know. But I wonder about that. I never have tried to grow like oregano and garlic in amongst them to help, because once you get that in the soil, apparently it's hard to get rid of that the black spot blight or whatever it's called. I don't know. It's like a fungus that grows on them, and their leaves just turn yellow, and get spots all over them.
We haven't had that problem here.
Good for you.
Not that particular problem. We've had problems with the bugs. We've had problems with the doggone armadillos once in a while. Of course, the dogs, they catch them, they kill them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a real fan of the Great Pyrenees because you can train them with a squirt gun to leave the chickens alone, and they'll go dig all the ground moles and chipmunks and stuff like that out of your yard and occasional rabbits or whatever. So you do have to worm them, because they get, prone to get parasites from eating that stuff. But
we had great beers for years.
They just like to roam if you don't have them imprinted. So you have to solidly imprint them on the land that they're supposed to stay at.
Well, I won't get one that's more than 2 months old.
That's probably a good rule of thumb. They're not fully grown until they're like 2 years old, I think, but.
Right.
And they do have a variable personality, like a lot of dogs. Some of them are jealous. And I think it's probably because after World War II, they were interbred to get their population back with the Anatolian.
Right.
So some of them are more aggressive than others. So they were almost decimated because of World War II. in France and Spain or whatever.
Yeah, but, well, you're right. They can. Their personality is very great. Well, you got the attention hounds. You got the one you're lucky if you see once a week, but it watches you constantly from out in the woods. you know, the range is incredible.
Yeah, something like 5 miles.
Yeah.
And so it takes tolerant neighbors, too, to realize, hey, these dogs are keeping the coyotes away. They'll even chase, if you've got three of them, they'll chase freaking grizzlies off, which is incredible.
We had them chase a black bear off here.
Easily, they'll take on a black bear, no problem.
Yeah, at least two or three.
Got to have at least two or three that are imprinted on themselves and the animals that they're guarding or the grandkids that they're guarding. They will.
We had a German Shepherd pup, I don't know, maybe a year old, and two Pyrenees and another dog. Actually, I guess it was three Pyrenees. And I was walking out to the corner of our yard one time, and there was a young black bear, and it spotted us about the same time we spotted it. The dogs froze, the bear froze, and it was almost funny. I was trying hard to keep from busting out laughing because they were all young animals, and the bear decided to make a break for it, and that was it. It was on. I listened to them dogs for 10 minutes chasing that bear.
He couldn't call him back, huh?
Oh, there wasn't no calling him back on that one.
Yeah,
but it was.
I don't know how well that works. I don't know how that works very well to mix the like a German Shepherd with a pack of Pyrenees.
Well, actually, it worked fine here.
It did? Okay. Yeah, we had some pound over the years. We've had some different, you know, rescue animals, and some of the rescue animals, I think, will break the pack because of their personality differences. They'll break the pack's unity. What we had was a part poodle, part chow. It was insanely jealous of other animals and people, but it would let a stray dog come in and take a chicken. Like, here you go. Yeah, sure. Good to meet you. And we finally got that dog a better home with an elderly fella, and I got more Great Pyrenees, and that solved the problem. They pack together, and they do not allow usually stray non pack dogs to come on the property, so they actually will go out of their way to go run dogs off if they can that are anywhere near, but. I think they can communicate very long distances with that low tone in the
bark. I know they can.
Yeah.
I know they can. Our property's like 3/4 mile long and like 1/4 mile deep and sort of a pie shape. And there's no doubt in my mind these animals can communicate from one end to the other of it.
Easily. But I think sometimes that draws them off your property, too, you know. If you're not... not careful, they'll abandon their post, so to speak. But
they're pretty good around here.
There's a lot of pictures of them up in Canada roaming with the sheep out, way out with the whole flock. And once they imprint on them, I think part of the problem is people try to make them into pets.
It can be a pet, but not if you want it to work.
Right.
Well, folks, just have to remember that when you put it, that's what they guard. So,
They guard humans or animals,
Right.
All right, ladies, you're welcome to hold on, Mike. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes, 800-313-9443.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
These are uncertain and very unstable times we live in. We are bombarded daily with the realization that our global economy is on the verge of collapse. Terrorists threaten our way of life and very existence. Natural disasters are increasing to levels never before seen by man. Our overall quality of life is threatened. More and more people are being proactive and are researching how they and their families can survive in the event of any disaster, natural or man-made. Gathering valuable life-saving information and keeping it protected is key to survival. Now, you can keep your valuable life-saving information secure and close for quick access with our Digital Survival Library USB drive. This means no scrambling around to find important information as it is all right in front of you at a moment's notice. For further information and to order your Digital Survival Guide for only $59.95, go to our website, ruralsurvival.info. That's ruralsurvival.info. Do so today. You'll be glad you did.
Good morning. RBN. And with this moment, we're speaking to Mike in Kentucky, and we were talking about the Great Pyrenees dogs.
Well, among other things, yeah. I've gained an appreciation for them, you could say, in the last, 15 years. You do have to watch them as they get older. They like to roam off and die on you, especially if there's an extended period of dry weather. They need a lot of water. And if they roam off on you, especially as an elderly dog, 10, 12 years old or older, they can dehydrate and die on you. So you kind of have to watch that, especially if they run off with a younger dog, you know. But because I recently lost one there that actually saved a they're prone to cataracts from oxidative stress, too. If one does come back in on you, any kind of a dog or animal or even people, If you have a dog or anybody that's been starved and, you know, returns home, you can't just, you know, be so glad to see them that you load them up with a big plate of food. That causes oxidative stress, and boom, they'll have cataracts almost overnight. But I was able to reverse that in a dog like a dummy. I had that happen. I mean, I knew better because I'd heard about, you know, these whatever starved populations that live in the desert, you know, and people go out there and feed them and kill them trying to help them. And you kind of have to wean them back onto the food, but at the same time, there's stuff called spirulina. It's a red-green algae.
Right.
There's some from Hawaii, and there's some that's grown in Klamath out in Northern California. I don't know which one's better or which one's less likely to be contaminated with, you know, Fukushima stuff. But
right,
it's also supposed to help with exposure to radiation and help to detox your body. But I was able to reverse cataracts in the Great Pyrenees that was only about 3 years old with two big doses of spirulina mixed in with chicken broth into just plain old commercial dog food. And
right.
The first big dose of it erased all of it out of his eye except for one little corner, one little white spot. And about 5-6 weeks later, I did the same thing, and it got, and his eyes were clear. And even after he was 12 years old, I think he started losing his hearing a little bit. But then one of the other dogs broke their trolley, and he roamed off with her when she was like the alpha female, and
yeah.
He didn't come back. So and it was a really dry period in the fall. So
right.
I'm fairly sure that's what happened to him. He's out there buzzard bait somewhere, who knows, miles away. But
yeah.
So that was a hard lesson to learn there. But he couldn't see for probably a month, and I was frantically running around, maybe longer than a month. I was all over the internet trying to find cataract surgery for him, and someplace in Tennessee wanted $600 per eye. Then I got
oh, yeah.
lucky and found one like 40 miles away that only wanted like $200 per eye. And then In my searching, I stumbled across something about spirulina being good for cataracts, and I forgot I even had some and went in the refrigerator. It was about 2 years out of date. I thought, what the heck, you know? I can't afford
to. Yeah, it ain't going to hurt them.
It didn't. I had like half a jar of that Hawaiian spirulina, and I took about a fourth of it, which was probably, I'd say, 4 or 5 big heaping tablespoons, and I mixed it up with that chicken broth, and it killed the smell of it because it smells like, you know, pond scum. Smells like a stagnant
right.
pond. But he lapped it up, and I was surprised at how well that worked on his cataracts. So I've had other people try it on older dogs, and it may or may not work. They couldn't tell, really. So
yeah.
This was one of them things, port and pray.
Right.
You know? Anyway, it's supposed to help with, you know, we're all exposed pretty much to this blue light from video phones, TVs, and all that. It's supposed to be a preventative, from what I've read, to help with the blue light damage that can cause.
It might be. Well, you know, it's not just the electronic stuff, Mike. I was laughing. I read the same article we were talking about, or multiple ones, actually.
There's
you notice how the color of the sun has gone from when we were kids, the sun was yellow. You remember that, don't you?
Well, I remember the sky looking different. It's real silvery
blue
now.
Yeah. Well, back, you know, when I was a kid, 6, 7, 8 years old, the sun was actually yellow. Now, you know, if you can stand to look at it for a brief second, it's whitish blue. And I never remember. Lori, what about you? Don't you remember the sun being yellow, or is this all in my head?
It's all in your head. No, you're kidding.
Well, I think there's several factors there. You've got, you know, volcanic ash from various eruptions besides Iceland. You know, right now we've got a little bit going on in the stratosphere from Mauna Loa or whatever. But, yeah,
uh-huh.
You can find the patents for fuel catalysts that they can put in the bunker fuel. And George W., threatened to take mothballed military bases in his brother's state of Florida and put refineries on there that would be outside the jurisdiction of the EPA. So when he wanted to do that, they relented and let all the commercial jet airliners burn military fuel. Real easy to put a catalyst.
Hang on, Mike.
Okay.
We got a break, buddy.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, right. Back in 3 minutes, 800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Back to this wonderful day and to Rural Survival here on RBN. Thank you all for tuning in. At the moment, we're speaking with Mike in Kentucky. And gentlemen, want to go ahead real quick?
Sure. Hey, Mike, we've got a lady by the name of Murr up in Wisconsin who'd like to talk with you. Okay, if I bring her on?
Absolutely fine, yes.
All right, go ahead, Murr. You're on the air.
Well, good morning, everyone. Yeah, I love to hear you, Mike, on all the different shows. It's really good. But you were saying about a dog with cataracts?
Yes.
Now, I don't know if you've heard or if you'd be interested in, but Dr. Jennifer Daniels was saying about putting a tiny, tiny bit of Vicks in the eyelid at night, and people are having such great results from that. Now, a dyed-in-the-wool nurse, Steve Elkins there, you know, one of the broadcasters, RBN, he, you know, Francis called him after Dr. Daniels, and they both agreed to confirm that they shouldn't do that. But a tiny, tiny bit, I would prefer that over cataract surgery any day. I'll try it. You know, I don't have the need right now, but so many people are saying my eyes are so much clearer. Because,
yeah,
you know, the thing we don't realize is that parasites in everything. We
sure
don't think of ourselves that way, but they're everywhere. But
oh, yeah.
So maybe a tiny, tiny bit of Vicks. The dog would probably hate you for a little while. But
yeah, I haven't had that problem in a while, but yes, I appreciate those type of tips. I think we're losing all kinds of living knowledge. I mean, I have an aunt that is a fairly, she's gotten to where she can't take me out anymore and teach me some of these herbal things, but there's something called pennyroyal that this old man got me out of the wood, huh?
Pennyroyal.
Pennyroyal. He didn't even know how to spell it.
Huh?
He didn't even know how to spell it or anything. He just and
penny, P-E-N-N-Y-R-O-Y-A-L. It's a very strong mint.
This wasn't. What he gave me was I made a little bit of a tea out of it, and it got rid of a really stubborn laryngitis that I couldn't get rid of for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's in the mint family, but you know, kind of more like an oregano flavor or something.
That's kind of what I thought it was. Yeah, more like an oregano.
Yeah, it's in that family. It's pennyroyal, just like it sounds. A penny and royal.
Well, he called it fenerol with an F. I mean, so that's kind of what you run into. You got colloquial terms. His grandma taught him about it, and who knows, maybe she had a speech impediment.
Well, maybe
but,
I'm wrong.
If you've
maybe
ever
that's
seen the movie,
else.
You ever seen the movie Nell, where what's her name, Foster? Jodie Foster. Who was that was in that? The famous lesbian director that helped Mel Gibson get back. Anyway, she was Ralph Hinkley.
I try to clean all that Talmud stream media out of my head that, you know, and replace it with birdsong and barefooting, but I have to really,
well, anyway,
really dig through
anyway,
those references.
She was in a movie where she was born to, she was a twin, and she was born to a woman that had a stroke. And so her speech was all screwed up. It took Liam Neeson a while to figure out she was actually speaking English. And so that's what you ran into.
That was Jodie Foster, right? And the twin died.
Yeah. Right, and they had their own language, and they were raised by a woman who had a speech impediment, and so they had a heck of a time communicating with her. It's called Nell.
Right.
And so living in eastern Kentucky, I speak Nell, but it's hard to decipher sometimes when people say, like you said, the guy told me it was called fenerol. And you say it's
pennyroyal.
Well, penaroyal.
It might be something else.
I wonder
else,
if
you're
talking about cinefoil.
I don't know, but you get what I'm getting at there.
Yeah, cinquefoil would be cinquefoil. That would be C-I-N-Q-U-E-F-O-I-L, which means five leaves. But that's
no,
also
this is, this is a long stalk of stuff. It's not really a stalk. It's a real thin stalk with little leaves coming off of each side that are kind of not really teardrop shaped. But anyway, it worked for me. The other thing that worked.
Good.
The other thing that was working for me was black tea, dark chocolate, and this worked a couple of times. And I have to wonder if it's kind of like a golden shot sort of thing. It'll work a couple of times and it won't work. But you get the really dark chocolate, like 78% or something, and carrot juice that is pressed, not juiced with a motor. And what it is the electromagnetic fields that we're all around deplete these weak acids. You can actually put a glass of lemon juice, lemonade, on a brick magnet. I've got one, and I did it. It tastes like soapy water within about an hour or two because it breaks the citric acid or ascorbic acid bond in the lemon juice. So we're constantly surrounded by these electromagnetic fields. It depletes a weak acid called oxalic acid, which can be a poison in high amounts. But when it...
I ate too much, what do you call it? I can't think of the name now. I think what it looks like. But I ate too much of it. It's like a wild spinach. But it made me sick because I ate too much at once. The oxalate.
Well, you can get calcium. You have to avoid calcium when you do this, or you can cause kidney stones.
Oh, yeah. I never
take So, you know, you take 2 or 3 days, and you do maybe a gallon of carrot juice, drink tea every morning, black tea, have you some dark chocolate, maybe a couple of the organic bars, you know, that you can buy at some big places that carry a wide selection. Maybe Baker's chocolate might work. I haven't done that. But that bumps your oxalic acid back up, and boom, laryngitis, bad colds, gone in about sometimes less than a day. But I did a full course of antibiotics one time trying to get rid of one of these bad colds, and I've just totally quit antibiotics. That's been about 12 years ago. I won't use them.
Yeah, I've been doing that for decades. But if you get out and barefoot, you recharge yourself, too, and set the balance straight.
Grounding, yeah. That's underappreciated, I think, because... But well, now this goes back to the jet trail topic that he just brought up. Our Earth's magnetic field, since it's been accurately measured over the last 120 years or something, is diminished by about 50% in its Gauss level. And the other factor is the sun, the heliosphere of the sun, since the space age and accurate measurements, it's diminished by about 50%. So we're getting probably at least twice the amount of cosmic rays. The Van Allen belts are not as effective as they used to be. And, of course, they don't know how they're going to get to Mars now because they just, the Kelly astronauts, I don't think it was a good study because they didn't have a good control. Both of them have been on orbit, but they did a detailed epigenomic study of them, and I think it's Gabby Gifford's husband is the one that came back from the space station, and they noticed, uh-oh, we've got some serious diabetic problems. We're not going to be able to get people to Mars without probably giving them permanent irreversible damage just from being away from the Earth's magnetic fields.
With all the other, everything's frequency, but with all the other things going on, the one thing that's not talked about is the radiation levels, and that will accentuate whatever your stress leads to.
Right.
Like, we'll see a lot
oxidative
higher.
Oxidative stress from that.
Yeah.
The dangers in the doses, they say.
Yeah. Well, see, nuke plants, they are venting them on evenings and weekends.
It's pretty clear. Anybody that lives around those has a big risk, especially youngsters.
Yeah. But the stuff that came in from Fuku, I can attest, because the jet stream comes right through here. And 2011 and 2012 were definitely affected. And I've seen mutated insects. Very interesting. Very interesting. I didn't have any camera, but the last one was
so many sources of it, too. I mean, they are never going to clean up Paducah, Kentucky's gaseous diffusion plant, Oak Ridge.
No.
There's unaccounted for plutonium by the dozens and dozens of pounds.
And they're putting all the fresh water fracking. I mean, that's a, you know, homosexual activity term. They, you know, like the flaunt in our faces. They're putting all our fresh water down. There's so much evil. People can't grasp that. That's why Hildebeest isn't picked up yet. And people just can't face how evil it is. And these people are so evil. If you remember William Cohen in 97 talking about earthquakes and causing them and other things. I think
I posted that. I posted that from the direct Pentagon.mil webpage in a note on Facebook. It vanished like a day or two later. It took me a while. Fortunately, I had a screenshot of it. But the University of Athens at Georgia was where he was speaking at. And people foo-fooed that because he was reading a paragraph out of a science fiction novel. But he was using that to illustrate the concept that there are these weapons.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so a lot of people try to debunk it.
You know, and they're so evil. When Michael Herzog came back, and it was January 9th, but I was having this intuition thing, and I'm a little sensitive anyway, but where I'm here by myself, that has just grown exponentially, you know, and I think
you take a lot of probiotics. You take a lot of probiotics and stuff, don't you?
Well, I just eat, you know, fermented vegetables.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that George Lucas was trying to hint at that, you know, when Yoda was out on the Dagobah planet in amongst the Force. The Force was stronger where he was from. And we are surrounding ourselves with mutagenic chemicals, plastics, and soy, genetically modified junk, and people don't realize that is the real culprit, and fluoride's real culprit is it's an antibiotic, and it alters your bowel bugs, where serotonin...
A tiny amount will harm a baby, in utero.
One of the stupidest things I've seen is nursery water from Nestle. That company has to be evil. They put nursery water with fluoride in it. So people's common sense is just gone when they're buying nursery water for their babies to mix up formula instead of breastfeeding.
they're so busy working and trying to get this phony money that they don't have time to realize just how evil all we're just immersed in it. And these people are so evil, they would cause an ice age to escape retribution. Their God would demand it.
Well, there is a, like I say, there's a perfect storm of factors here, and they've sold this idea. By the time we find out about it, they've already been experimenting with it for 20 years. So when the director of the CIA is speaking to the Council on Foreign Relations saying how fascinated he is with stratospheric aerosol spraying, they've already been doing it. He's trying to sell the idea. Oh, it's only a $10 billion program. It'll only cost us $10 billion a year. And but they're trying to sell it because they've already developed it and it's already in place, I think. And if they quit, it'll destabilize the weather unless they gradually wean off of it.
Right. They can't just quit at this point. If they do, it will be a disaster, an unmitigated disaster.
They're not in charge, though. This is what we have to remember. We're spirits. And there's higher forces in charge. And all of us together, the interwebs are really training wheels to get back our telepathy and our telepathy. And we need to work on that. You know, just don't be upset. Don't be fearful. Just don't. You know, spend a lot of time with spirit. Grow your spirit.
Fear is paralyzing, that's for sure. Panic kills.
That's what stress is.
The thing I was getting at, though, with this, with the bunker fuel earlier, is that when they allowed the commercial jet airliners to burn military fuel, it made it a lot easier to put these patented fuel catalysts in the fuel. And, of course, they'll go along with it if the people that question it will go along with it because it makes the jets more fuel efficient as a catalyst, maybe 10 to 15%.
Wow.
And, there's patents you can go read about it from the 70s where they used, I think one of them I found was toluene, but then they also put some kind of aluminum oxide in there.
I think barium also.
Yeah, I don't
barium,
know about the barium.
Aluminum,
I haven't found
copper.
A patent for that.
Yeah, I found all kind of weird scum in my bird bath. It is like an orange, almost shiny, spongy stuff. You know,
well, but there are patents.
And even the bird seed, they poison that.
Well,
you know
if
what I'm going to say?
With the desiccating.
Everything is remote controllable. You know, we know the planes, trains, and automobiles are. Well, it turns out the ships are, too. If you go on YouTube and look at Florida McKee, M-A-Q-U-I-S, he's really into following what's going on, and he's saying that there's war breaking out where we're not looking. It's down in the Caribbean. But if you look
if it's remote controllable, it's hackable. So
right.
Yeah.
Yep. See, that's what's happening. That's what happened with the USS Fitzgerald. And the container ship, both of their transponders were hijacked. And the same thing with the McCain. So, but if you look at that, it's very interesting. He does a very good job. He's very, very into that. I guess a Navy guy, apparently.
A lot of these ships apparently have some kind of gyroscopes or something to help them stay balanced. So all you have to do is probably hijack them.
Yeah, they do.
Container freights that are over top heavy anyway, stacked up with all that, it's real easy to tip them.
That's another thing. I can't even stand to look at those container ships because that's how they haul the children around. There's 8 million children go missing each year. And back in the Dutroux affair in the 80s, you know, out of Belgium, Brussels, where the EU headquarters are, that's a big. But anyway, what they like is 40% spoilage. That means 40% of the children die in these containers. And, you know, after talking to dock workers and stuff, you'll see a ship way down the end of the dock, and they don't want to work on it. And what this writer was saying was, you know, it was a man, and he was saying, you know, go check it out, see how they dress, you see where they hang out, go in the bars, and you can learn a lot, and you can get into stopping this. I mean, think about it. The Clinton Foundation had, what, 12 or 13 ships? Yeah.
Moriarty's pointed that out after they Libya was destabilized with a fake popular uprising against Gaddafi and the tribal leadership.
Mm-hmm.
It became a market for a lot of Africa's slave trade, and apparently Barack Obama's relatives are involved in that.
Oh, no doubt. So, but anytime you mess with their usury, you are the enemy. That's all that was with Hitler. You look into it.
A big part of it, yeah. But I think that who knows, they may have gave him syphilis to send him sideways.
Well, I don't even know that that's all true. He went down to South America. He was abducted, he and Eva. Borman had him.
Hey, folks. We're at our final break for this hour.
I'll let you people talk. Thank you. I mainly wanted to let Mike know about the VIX.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back to Real Survival here on RBN. We've been talking about several different things this morning. So if you'd like to call in, give us a shout-out. Number is 1-800-313-9443. Again, the number is 1-800-313-9443. Mike, are you still on the line?
I'm still here. I mainly wanted to say one more thing about what she was talking about, the linchpin for a lot of this and how things get derailed and people end up on these useless evil path to the destruction is because they're not superstitious enough to worry about idolatry. Are they engaged in worshiping something that is created? And, you know, instead of the Most High. And, of course, that's a very plain warning that you'll be handed over to a reprobate or useless mind. And I think that's what causes some of these corporations to be engaged in stuff that they really don't know what they're doing and playing around with things where they end up on a path that is causing a lot more problems than they're solving.
Right.
So, and it's just basic greed on top of that. Mammon.
Yeah.
So, you end up with spraying stuff in the skies to try to stop a problem that may not be happening. But the earth may be able to take care of itself.
Which I think it would.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, if you still want to hang on, that's fine. But we do have another caller. We have Dan in Hawaii, so why don't we bring him on. Hi, Dan. How are you today?
Hi, dear. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Hi.
Hawaii's good. It's good. Everything's good.
Did you want to tell us anything today?
Well, I think they're overblowing this lava event over here.
I was wondering about that, Dan. I was going to ask. I was really hoping you would call.
Well, it's been a while.
I was wondering.
Been busy, real busy, and pretty early here, so I haven't called in quite a while. But doing good. The lava.
I'm glad of that.
Yeah.
How's the power plant?
Power plant, hard to get information out of these guys. What's going on? I'm calling around. Nobody seems to have any information. They won't let anybody in down there, so hoping for the best, you know.
It was a silly little cartoon, I think. I'm trying to remember what it was. It was some kind of space cartoon where they had a volcano that was threatening some planet, and they stacked up a bunch of rocks to divert the lava. And I don't see, you know, I've got these concrete, what do you call them, barriers that they use on highways?
Hay rails.
Yeah, why can't they go stack a bunch of those in a V shape to divert it around that power plant, get ahead of it?
Well, that's possible they may be doing that. That's commonly used over here. Rather than concrete, they just use lava. Because that's a rock.
Yeah.
They have lava quarries here. And they can crush it up to more or less uniform sizes. We've got huge system of 20-ton trucks that can get it over there. They may be doing that now. They just dump it out. And that's commonly used to prevent flows from overtaking various structures and whatnot. So.
Well, lava is full of air. It will actually float. I've heard of people coming upon islands of lava floating in the ocean, and it'll scrub the barnacles off their boat. But so it insulates. I mean, it'll cool the lava that hits it, you know.
Yeah, I've seen that many times over here. Yeah, that works. It'll work if you've got enough of it.
Well, I think that's an illustration of how precarious our civilization is, though.
Hey, why don't both you guys hang on through the top of the hour break?
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in about 2.5 minutes or so. Call in numbers 800-313-9443.
Thank you. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.